The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything that you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads, so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. I've been so pumped to take a couple of friends with our road bikes to some of the trails nearby, and now I can bring the entire crew, my dog, and all of our gear with that third row. Learn more about the new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Let me tell you who's doing sneakers the best in the game right now. That's New Balance. The 2-Way V4... featuring this groundbreaking use of technology with fresh foam. It's called Fuel Cell, creating this combination that we love of rebound and cushioning. Fresh foam offers unparalleled cushioning for maximum comfort your entire game from start to finish. The upper construction features this lightweight textile that reduces weight, which we all need, I know I do, while remaining supportive and breathable. Hard to find that combo. The 2-Way V4 gives you the tools that you need to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the 2-Way V4 at newbalance.com.
You're tuned in to Heat Check with Trista Crick.
On this episode of the Heat Check, we have a special interview with one of my favorites, Keith Smith. Keith is a senior writer at SpotTrack, or SpoTrack, one of my favorite NBA websites that I don't know how to pronounce, as well as a Celtics insider. Keith joined me and my co-host PJ Glasser on BetMGM tonight. On a recent episode, we discussed the Trailblazers. Of course, Miles Turner, why he may actually not be on the move. How Malcolm Brogdon symbolizes the new NBA. Fascinating conversation around that. What's going on with Kawhi Leonard? And why the Wolves might be the latest team to be taken by Trader Danny. One of my favorite interviews this season, Nick. So do me a favor. Let's drop that beat. I asked Keith whether he thought the Cleveland Cavaliers were for real and what he thought about the Portland Trailblazers. In this clip, listen in.
Yeah, it's still too early, but I think this is a case of water finding its level. They got out to that great start, but they weren't going to be that team all year. They've definitely got some holes in their rotation that they've got to shore up, and whether that's with development or they make additions down the line. But they're going to settle into being a good team, which is probably a top six team in the East versus being a top two or three team in the end.
I saw that you went on Rip City Radio this morning and talking about my Blazers. What do you think about them and whether they're going to find their level or whether what they're doing is sustainable? And kind of just your thoughts on what you are seeing from them. Because last 3 years, Keith, defensively, they've been abysmal. And right now they're sixth in defensive rating because of really Jerami Grant.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is, I think, two things. They got better defensive players on the court now. I think that has helped a lot by Jerami Grant, but I think they're playing some other guys. Drew Eubanks is a really solid defender when he's in there up front. And then I think this is a year into what Chauncey Billups wants them to be doing, and they've been relatively healthy-ish, I think, has also helped them. So I think there's some sustainability. They'll drop off some. I don't think they're going to, be the top team in the Western Conference when all is said and done. But I think, again, this is a team that'll push. I had them in the play-in tournament. They might be able to get themselves out of it because a couple teams in the West that I thought might be ahead of them, right now they look like they kind of can't get out of their own way. So, Portland just needs to keep doing what they're doing, and they're going to put together a nice year up there.
Indiana having a fascinating year, so I asked Keith about the Pacers and Miles Turner. Since he recently broke him down on SpotTrack, he had a ton of great insight into his situation.
I'm curious about your thoughts on Indiana because this is a team that everyone says wants to have the top five draft pick, and yet they're above 500. Miles Turner has been awesome. He's on an expiring. To you, what are the odds that Miles Turner, he's been in trade talks for forever, ends up actually staying in Indiana for the duration of this year, even longer? The idea seems insane, and yet he is still there.
Yeah, I actually just wrote about him for SpotTrack yesterday because he's a candidate for the very rare renegotiation and extend, which is where you can actually up his salary this year because the Pacers have cap space and because he's on the right kind of contract. So I think, you know, whenever a guy has been in trade talks for like 4 or 5 years, like Turner has been, but then he doesn't get traded, I tend to think there's something to that. Either he doesn't want to be, or the team doesn't really want to move him. And I think he may stick right there. I would not be surprised if the Pacers, you know, after the trade deadline is done and they see what moves are out there for them, maybe using that almost $30 million in cap space that they have, if they say, all right, you know what, let's give some of it as to Miles Turner as a bonus now, and we'll tack 2, 3, 4 years on in the new contract. That still keeps him a tradable asset just in case, but I don't think he's going to go anywhere necessarily.
Malcolm Brogdon went to the Celtics in the offseason for less than people thought that he would make. Less than people thought it would take to get that trade done. Keith gives a fascinating answer. I want to delve more into it in a later episode of the Heat Check. Incredible stuff.
I like Atlanta to win that division. I think they've got the better team. Miami is that they're older. You're already putting a lot of miles on some of their guys early in this season. That's very worrisome to me for what they may look like when we get into February, March, and April. What's that going to look like? They don't have a ton of depth on that team. They have major holes up front. They don't have anybody at the power forward spot. Their big man rotation has been a little bit messy. So unless there's a trade coming, which is not an easy thing to do for them because they're kind of out of tradable assets, I think they're going to be one of those teams that might be down in the play-in range, and I think the Hawks will ultimately win the division almost by default because it's not going to be any of the other three teams. They're just not good enough.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Keith, can you talk a little bit about the job that Joe Mazzulla has done this year? Because Woj says that he's coached his way into a long-term deal. I think a lot of people think this is a team that already went to the finals, so how hard could it be? But the institutional chaos that was going on when he took over was immense.
Yeah, that's it. It's that part there at the end that you said is this could have gone completely sideways on the Celtics and, you know, really been terrible because the players, I openly said, they had no idea any of this was coming. They basically found out right before the rest of us did that all this was going down. And that's, you know, that's tough, especially, you know, right on the eve of the season starting up that you're going to be in that spot. And I think, you know, Joe Mazzulla, yes, he's kept some of Ime Udoka's stuff in there, but offensively, he's created more of a five-out system than even Udoka ran. That's opened up driving lanes for Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. I think he's really empowered the players. And what he's also done is he's kind of said, hey, these are my rotation guys. I know who my 8, 9 guys are, but the rest of you guys, your 10, 11, 12, 13, you better be ready because we know we've got a couple injury-prone guys. When we come to you, you got to be ready to go. And that's what we've seen here over the last couple weeks with, like, Peyton Pritchard and Sam Hauser and Luke Kornet. Those guys have been able to step in and really do some stuff. And they're playing really good basketball. And they're going to get Malcolm Brogdon back, looks like, tomorrow. Marcus Smart probably only a couple more games away. And then eventually Robert Williams is going to return. That's when I think you'll see the defense take off as well.
In your travels of covering the league, I've heard some things just kind of whispers about that Malcolm Brogdon. You talk about, you know, just guys that are injury prone. Something that I heard, you know, whispers about is that when Malcolm Brogdon gets injured, it doesn't really matter how injured he is. He will miss time because he's that careful about his body. Is that something that's like pretty normal across the league? Is there a wide disparity? Have you heard this? Just kind of curious about that in general and how GMs think about players.
Yeah, I have heard that as it pertains to Malcolm Brogdon. I think there's a reason why the Celtics got him for as low of a price as they did, which I think, you know, when you just look at the player and the talent, it was like, wow, the Celtics really stole him. But when then you look at it, it's like, This is a guy who plays, 40, 50 games in some years, and that can be tough to work around. And I think for Boston, the idea was, we have Derek White, we have Marcus Smart, we have Peyton Pritchard. Hey, if he needs a week off to recover from what seems like maybe a minor injury, we go. And that's becoming more prevalent around the league with players. I think players are looking at this and saying, hey, I don't want to have an 8-good-year career. I'd like to have a 10, 12-good-year career. And the way they're doing that is by not playing through injuries and the like. So I think that's what we're starting to see a little bit here, is some of these guys are taking a little bit more time to make sure, hey, I'm not going to come back at 90-95%. I'm going to be 100% before I retake the ball.
Keith, you talk about guys playing through injury and not having injury-prone guys on a team. What is happening with Kawhi? Because he was supposed to be ready to go a lot earlier, and with all the hoopla in L.A. and Brooklyn and Boston, Kawhi and his status has completely flown under the radar.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the challenge with Kawhi Leonard is when the Spurs traded him after he missed all of those games with them, they traded him to the Raptors, and the Raptors really kind of said, hey, we're going to put you on a full-on maintenance plan, make sure we have. What came out at that time was he wasn't dealing with a quad injury. It was a quad condition. And they said openly, this is going to last for the rest of his career. And I think what we're really looking at now is you're seeing the kind of totality of that plus the torn ACL adding up to being a guy who, when he feels something, he's not going to push to get back out there till he feels like he's ready. And I think for the Clippers, they're still kind of playing, hey, we have bigger goals. It doesn't really matter winning games in November for us. We want to be winning games in May and June. And I think they're content to kind of make sure, let's get him back. My worry is he going to come back for a week and then need to miss another month? Because if that happens, now all of a sudden that changes the whole upside on the Clippers. And for what it's worth, I thought they were going to be in the NBA Finals this year.
Finally, I asked Keith about whether he thought the Rudy trade in Minnesota was going to work out long term. Hint, he's not optimistic.
Minnesota, I think, I kind of, with the Clippers, I thought they might get off to a little bit of a slow start just because I obviously didn't think it'd be quite to the extent of time Kawhi's missed, but I thought he might miss some time. Paul George, John Wall coming back after a year away. I thought they might just take a little bit of time to get going, but Minnesota just looks, I mean, they look like a mess a lot of the time. And now I know they won the other night, so maybe they're starting to figure some stuff out. But, when you're 5-6 games into the season and guys are already talking about how these lineups don't work and the spacing is a mess, that's a problem. That's normally kind of reserved for, 30-40 games into the season kind of conversation. So I'm a little bit worried about what they are. And I got to start to wonder, if it all falls apart there, did Danny Ainge, like he did with the Celtics when they made the trade with the Nets, did he outsource his tank job to another team and lets them do it and he builds his own roster the way he wants to in Utah?
Yeah, that's a fascinating point. Chess, not checkers when it comes to Danny Ainge.
Yeah, he really can be, in that position. And I think, too, what I learned covering him for years with the Celtics is Danny Ainge is not the kind of guy, he might bottom it out for a year, but he is not going to do a multi-year, tear down and take. He's far too competitive for that. It sounds good, I think, to him to, hey, let's have a million draft picks. But I think he loves the idea of, hey, if I don't have to do my own tanking, let these other teams be bad for me, and I can build a pretty good roster like he did, with Boston when he rebuilt that team kind of on the fly with Brad Stevens into what became a playoff team and then into eventually a pretty good team as they added a few more talented players.
BetMGM Tonight airs Monday through Friday live from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's available wherever you find your podcast. It's also available on demand on the Odyssey app. A million thanks to Keith Smith, my co-host Ryan Horvath, and super producer Cameron Gray, along with my other co-host PJ Glasser. That's all the time that we have for the Heat Check. Check the feed, please, for past episodes and mini-episodes that drop almost every day. Do not forget to download, subscribe, and please tell your friends. And follow us on social at This Heat Check and at Trista Crick on TikTok.